As was mentioned in the prayer, we were studying in the book of Acts. And when I spent a lot of time on going back and talking about things in the past, but I think it's always good to have an introduction of a few comments. And when we think of the book of Acts, what do we really think of?
Book of Action.
Do what?
Book of Action.
Book of Actions. Actions for what?
Let's say the growth, at the growth of the church.
That's one of them. What comes before the growth? The what? What about the beginning? The establishment. You've got to have the establishment to do, like it's been mentioned here, to have the growth. And isn't it amazing how God formulated the plan of the establishment of the kingdom? Now, when did this idea show up from God of establishing the kingdom? What's that?
AD 33.
All right, that's when it started. But when did the idea came into practice?
In creation. Before the creation.
Probably before creation. But we know that after creation, we have evidence that tells us that something was going to take place in the future.
Talking about the promises to Abraham.
Do what? Well, yeah, all the way back there. There's a lot of things pointing toward this period of time. All right. But now, when Jeremiah is talking about that, he's talking about, as you say, as to what we have today. But this idea even began before Jeremiah did. And I stand amazed that my kin folks and religious folks in the world today, how hard it is for them to get all this put together. And I'm not the smartest fellow in the world. I assure you that I've wrestled with a lot of it. But with good people like you, you have helped me come to have a better understanding, and do not let it end yesterday or today. I appreciate all of you. So we'll get started with our comments further on this, and last week we were in Acts 4, our lesson Acts 4, and we didn't complete it. And I believe we got down to somewhere around the 9th or 10th question. But just briefly, I'll just scan over some of these things and point out what is happening at this time, beginning there in chapter 4. Now, we'll be in chapter 5, basically, today. But the Jewish party, and there were several, but as you and I know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the two major ones. And at this time, it appears that the Sadducees were really evident in the activities of the Jewish religion. And what was their primary thoughts about things?
They didn't believe in the resurrection.
That's right. They did not believe. The Pharisees, they did. And so we find now that the Sadducees are basically the spoken ones that we see here. And so we find now that Peter and John are the two apostles that are the ones that's more outspoken at this time and doing the speaking and so forth. And we need to remind ourselves to always go back to chapter 1 and look at there at what our Lord said in the first chapter as He was preparing to ascend to heaven. And then we notice that we have the information about who has a responsibility now to continue the teachings of our Lord. In fact, they have added one to replace Judas Iscariot, named Matthias. And what was the responsibility of these 12 individuals? There were to be witnesses, right. And how did they know what to say and do at this time? The Holy Spirit. Well, did he, the Holy Spirit, just show up without them having any knowledge of this? Right. They were instructed that they would have a helper. And the Holy Spirit would tell them what to say. And it's amazing to me as we study this that Peter, being the more or less spokesman at this time, how that they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And there in the beginning, we have, it was 120 there. Well, did the Holy Spirit come upon all of those at one time?
I don't think so. I think it fell on the
way. If my understanding, and if my understanding is correct, it's in line with what you're saying, that the Holy Spirit came upon those apostles. Now, we have many in the so-called Christian religious world that want us to believe, and maybe even some of our brethren, that want us to believe that it came upon the 120, and or all of them, and all of them could have this. But I believe if we'll study it out, that we'll find it. That will not take place until we get over to about the sixth chapter.
Well, Billy, they did receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, when anybody is baptized, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not the same as being able to do, but they did receive the Holy Spirit.
I appreciate that. They did receive that gift, but not in the same sense that the apostles had. And I know, what is the
gift? The Word of God wrestles with that stuff. So the Word of God is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit preserves God's Word for us. And subsequently, we have the opportunity for salvation.
Thank you. The gift of the Holy Spirit at this time was that it was given to those, and like I said, the apostles were different than just you and I receiving the Holy Spirit at this time. Because they were endowed with this ability to teach and preach, and they didn't have to have a book to go by. It was told them as to what to do. And I believe as we go through our study, we'll find that. I've been waiting for you, brother.
Yeah, if you look at Acts 5:14,
Right. I know you may be wondering, well, why, Billy, are you going? There is so much false teaching out there along these lines that we need to run it back through our intellectual mechanism from time to time. Because I don't know about you, but I have sat in a group or been associated with some folks that, man, I don't know where they got all those ideas. But as I say, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but at least I've tried to study and I've tried to listen to people that are good students of the Word that's not teaching error. Any other comments along those lines? We are His witnesses to these things, and also is the Holy Spirit from God was given to those who obey Him. Now your question is what?
What degree do we have it? We don't have it as the apostles. We can't lay our hands on anybody and make them well. And when the ones that the apostles laid their hands on died, that ended.
The Holy Spirit today, and I want to clarify one point. If I miss this, somebody correct me. Because I have heard some say the Word is the Holy Spirit. The Word is what the Holy Spirit has given, if I understand it correctly. But the Word is not the Holy Spirit. And so we have the ability that has been given to us by God, whereby we can take what has been taught by those that had the Holy Spirit in a different measure than what you and I have it today. And maybe I didn't phrase that right, but if you got a better way to phrase it, speak up. And if you're wondering why I'm going through all of this, as I've emphasized living in a different world from you brethren, I have heard some very far out reasoning along this line. Any other comments? Absolutely.
And that goes back to what Dave was talking about, as far as the gift of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps, some other things are in as well there, but the Holy Spirit is given to us. He dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Romans 8 teaches the same thing. 2 Corinthians 1. Several times in Scripture we're told that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so, okay, well, for what purpose? Well, we know at least a couple.
Absolutely, brother. Jim? If we don't know what it says, then we don't know what the Holy Spirit taught. Am I saying that's right? Any other comments? Didn't mean to spend so much time on this, but I just have heard so much about this down through the ages that as we study this, I thought we needed to remind ourselves.
I know one thing though. We don't abide in Christ. We don't go by His saying, His teaching. Christ, we're not in Christ. We're not God's saying, and the Holy Spirit's saying.
Well, let's move on unless you've got some other comments or questions here. Because we don't have many questions in our lesson today. But we'll get on that in just a moment. So beginning in lesson 4, and I heard somebody.
I think when we get to chapter 8, it explains more about the Holy Spirit. Chapter 8,
well, it will help us later on, but I lost my train of thought. I apologize. Well, let's just look at these few questions from last week, and then we'll get into our lesson today. And I believe I'll pick up here about question number 9 in our last week's lesson. What did the council decide to do with Peter and John because they had been speaking out and so forth? And what did Brother Jesse, what did they decide to do with Peter and John, or what did they tell them? Don't you speak in this man's name no more. And this would illustrate to us that, as of the comment that I made earlier, and it's a good possibility that the Sadducees here are kind of in charge. And but now, don't you speak of this man or in his name anymore. And as we look there in question number 10, did Peter and John obey their order? This answer that is given here, is this a good lesson outline for you and I today as we mingle among people and try to discuss the Word or when it's brought up? I would suggest that all of us have a good knowledge of what is said here. In other words, all I can do is tell you what the Word says. And I'm sure that all of us have been guilty of being in some of those situations and where discussions are going on and some of them so far out in left field, it sounds really strange. But yes, we need to have such a knowledge that we can just say, well, let's just do what the Scriptures say. Any other comments along that line? Did Peter and John obey their order? Well, we've about answered that, I suppose. No, but and I'll just go ahead and answer this one. For we but speak whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. And that should be our attitude also today. Then number 11 in this last week's lesson says, when the apostles prayed to God, what did they ask for? Brother James?
Well, verses 29 and 30, it says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that all, with all boldness, that they may speak your word, stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus.
And James, I know you know the answer to this. When we see that word boldness, B-O-L-D, any double S? Well, what are we talking about? Having the courage. Having the willingness to speak out. In other words, don't be afraid. Anytime a question comes up, if we have an adequate knowledge of the teachings of the Word, we should never be afraid to speak up, should we? If nothing more than just raise a question as to why and so forth. Okay, let's look at number 12 there. Well, I'll pick up number 12. What attitude did these brethren have toward their possessions? Well, no one said that any of the things he possessed were his own. And they had all things in common. Why did this come to be said? Well, you and I... Okay, but what has taken place now at this period in time to bring all these people together? Pentecost. And they had come from miles. I don't know how many miles, don't know how many countries. But we noticed that they had a lot of people there. And when this event took place, they stayed longer than they had come prepared to stay. And they ran out of goods. Now, we have a lot of offshoots in this in the religious world today. Talking about, sharing our goods with others and so forth. But, in fact, we've had some organizations down through the years, religious organizations now, that wanted to pattern their organization after this event. And this event is not to teach that it was an ongoing thing, but it was just a situation where people had come and they didn't bring enough goods with them, and people began to sell their goods and use them to help those people have the substance of life.
Yeah, that's
Let me say this, and if I get it wrong, let me know. I agree with what you're saying now. But in other words, if there's needs today, those of us that have the goods of life, do we have a responsibility? Yes. But this is a different situation than what maybe we'd be talking about today in some ways. Now, I have a note here. And if you've never heard of these folks, they're out of existence today, except the last word I had on a study of them, there was only a small clan of them still in either Pennsylvania or New York. And they were known as the Shakers. If you've never studied them, I encourage you to go back and study just for the knowledge of it. And their big headquarters was in more or less central Kentucky, I suppose, south of Lexington and so forth. Sister Joan and I had the opportunity to visit. The only thing that I'd like to have that they had was those timbers, brother, that they had built those buildings out of. I'm telling you what, they were expert builders. But now, if you've never studied the Shakers, go back and study them. They're out of existence, basically, today. But this is just an illustration of some of the things that we're talking about. And I'll move on from that. I didn't come to study the Shakers.
Well, doesn't this involve all of the nations that are gathered in Jerusalem, every known nation under heaven? These are the people that's there, and these are the people that need assistance at this time.
That's right. They had come for a special gathering, hadn't they? Known as, what was it, Pentecost? And then when this event took place, they stayed longer than they had intended to stay. And so it is now, these early Christians, they begin to help take care of the needs. What other comment along this line? I'll get off my soapbox now. But I encourage you to read some history about the back in the 1800s, some events that took place that was very similar to this. When those were encouraging people in the so-called Christian religious world to come back to the truth. And I encourage you to read some history. If you hadn't already done so. And if you've done so, restudy. Because I have to restudy all the time to remember much. Anyway, let's move on now. Number 13 is talking about Barnabas. What was Barnabas' name by the apostles? Do what? Son of consolation, over encouragement, and my scriptures here talks about it being Joseph, but it was supposed to be Joseph, I understood. So
his surname, Joseph, was his surname.
Right.
Ha ha!
Any other comments about our last week's lesson? We'll hurry up and try to get through this one now. I had some other things to say about this, but we'll hold those to next week. But we'll begin with chapter 5, and our question number 1 here. I'll point you to start. And what did the Apostle Peter tell them? Let me just turn here to the 3rd verse. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So he's emphasizing what? They wanted to portray the idea that, oh, look at all these millions we've given, so to speak, and when they just kept a half of it.
Yeah, they were trying to pick up something of encouragement too, even though they were obviously trying to deceive.
Oh, absolutely. They wanted it to appear that, look what we have done. Now, my brother, and I reckon I need to apologize to you because I got a lot of experiences. I happen to have witnessed one or two situations like this in the Lord's church today. And I'm ashamed to say that I've witnessed it. I'm ashamed that it happened. But I saw some things that took place like this. And also, I'll just mention one episode. You older folks probably will recall this. Out yonder in Texas, there was a guy by the name of Billy Saul Estes. You ever heard of him? He was a wealthy businessman in the agricultural world. And he portrayed something along this line and calling himself a member of the Lord's church. And I forgot more than I ever knew about it, but I just remember that every time I see this, I think about Billy Saul Estes and how he portrayed himself. Number 2.
Billy.
Yeah. Well, Brother Jesse, I believe many of us could recall similar instances in the era of the world that we lived. And we could spend hours talking about that, but that happens today. Next question.
In what way did they test the spirit of
In other words, they played this being a hypocrite, didn't they? What does the word hypocrite, when we say hypocrite, he's hypocritical. What do we mean? Right. He's pretending to be something he's not, or saying things that is not right. In other words, they lied.
Well, another way he tested him is, you know, the Lord knows everything. And so they tried to pull one over, essentially, on the Lord. And that's essentially testing the Lord, because he obviously knew what was going on. The Lord knew what was going on.
The lesson to you and I today and all people, exactly what you just said. We think we can pull things over and, oh, I can camouflage it and he doesn't know what I'm doing. But the Lord knows, doesn't he? So we need to make note of that. Not saying that we're guilty of it today, but maybe tomorrow. Okay, next question. Any other comments along that line? I could talk for another 30 minutes on it.
Billy, I made a note just next to that question that said they wanted to praise the men and God.
Yeah. And that's the point I was making about one of those, or two of those illustrations I gave earlier. Looking for the praise of men. Many times along the lines you're talking about, they make him a mysterious character, in other words. And he's not that. He's a real character. Okay, our next question here. Number four, I reckon you see. Well, was Ananias to blame at all? Well, I think we've already answered that. When he decided to pretend that he had brought it all. So, number four.
What effect did Ananias' fiery punishment have on those inside the church and outside? It had a great impact. It brought more of an atmosphere of the Lord there. And in verse 11, it says, "The great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things."
All right. Any other comments along that line? Do what, brother?
It was a miracle.
Right.
It wasn't the kind of thing we normally think about when we describe miracles. The purpose of miracles was to confirm the Word of God.
Right.
And this miracle confirmed the Word of God.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. Okay, we've got a minute or two here. Our next question.
What happened to Ananias' fire to the church that broke the veil of the first
Yeah. And I just got to insert this. Until we get, well, there's our deadline. I'll hold it for next week. I was going to ask about how many have we noticed that have, we've been given some information as those that have obeyed the gospel. But I'll hold that till next week. Thank you for your time.